belong to Christ and should be living your life to his glory and for pleasing him. Now, in Acts 20:28, let me give you some scriptures here. Listen to these scriptures. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves. Now, Paul is talking to the elders, people that have been set in authority in the local church. He said, take heed to yourself and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he have purchased with his own blood. Make sure you're living right yourself before you try to feed the church. Take heed to yourself and to over all the flock. So as a pastor, I have to take heed to me. That means I have to make sure that I'm doing the right thing, that I'm living right, that I'm practicing the word, that I'm being a good pattern for you to pattern your life after. Yes. And then I'm supposed to look after the church. Now, here, the Holy Ghost called the church the flock of God. Listen at this. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock. The Holy Ghost set overseers in the church, right? And as an overseer, one of his assignments, not the only assignment, but one of them is to feed the church of God. To feed the church of God. All right, so overseers are given the responsibility of feeding the church. That means feeding the individual members of Christ's body. So if you cut this part off, then there did not establish it that way. But man will try to establish church the way he wanted to be. The Bible says that there are those that go about to establish their own righteousness, their own way of being right with God. Well, I just think it ought to be like this. It don't matter what you think. It's what Jesus did. Well, I just don't think that's right, Pat. It don't matter what you think. It's what he did. It is how he established it. It don't matter whether you agree with it or not. It's the way it is. Now, you can go on in that deception. You can choose death. You can choose the curse. You can choose to stay deceived. Some people, you know, I start teaching on something they don't want to hear it, they get up and walk out of here while I'm preaching. They have chosen to stay in their darkness. And the Lord will let them go. You remember that time Jesus made a hard saying? See, everything he say ain't real just sweet and tickle your ear. You understand? Some stuff rub you the wrong way, and it's meant to rub you the wrong way, so you can come out of that deception that you in. Remember he made a hard saying, and then some other people say, we ain't following you no more. And they left him. Some of his disciples walked off from him. And I was reading that one day, and I said, Lord, how come you ain't run after them? You know, some pastors, somebody lead the church, say, oh, wait, baby, come here. Can we make it right with you? Come on, baby. Let's talk about it. And a good pastor ought to do that and make sure people lead the right way. But my job ain't supposed to be to run after you and run you down, because if I got to run after you to get you, I'm going to have to run after you to keep you. And God didn't tell me to run after nobody. He told me to feed you. That means that you're responsible for bringing yourself to this place.
Glory to God.
You've been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I trust that you've received the Word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $8 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 8:30 or 10:30 a.m. and on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship service. We're located at 4701 Lee Street, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
KKAYT 88.1 FM, 70,000 watts of gospel power, beaming on the Blue Mountains of Mississippi and the flat plains of West Texas and the beaches and bayous of Louisiana. KAYT 88.1 FM.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Lord, a hand of praise, if you will. God bless you, Elder Copeland. We thank God for you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed in reverence to God. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to hear your word. Meet and minister unto us underneath the skin. Let the Holy Ghost do as only he can do. Take your word and give it to us in such a way that we shall have understanding, power to practice the principles, and more especially give you the praise. We ask it all in Jesus' name we pray. And the people of God said amen. 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 Can you give the Lord another hand of praise? I'm not going to be before you very long. But I am grateful to God for this day and all the possibilities of praise due his name. I'm excited on this fifth Sunday. Our choir has met this week and been preparing some wonderful songs for us. And I'm looking forward to them sharing them with the congregation. I just want to drop a little nugget in your spirit, and it has to do with this issue called faith. So many of us need to operate daily in faith. We need to demonstrate to God that we are children of faith, that we know who and whose we are through faith, and that because he has given us his son Jesus Christ and the gift of the Holy Ghost, and we receive him even as our Heavenly Father through faith, that it is important that we realize that we live, move, and have our being in him. Now, saying that, there are some issues that we deal with daily that faith can take care of. There are some problems we deal with daily that faith can take care of. There are some attacks from the enemy that we are able to overcome and to take the authority over through faith. But we miss the element of faith being a present force in our lives. Now, I just want to lift out one verse in your hearing, and I'll just kind of quickly go through the story. Mark 11 and 22, and Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Have faith in God. This is the story about the fig tree. Jesus is leaving Bethany. He's hungry. He sees a fig tree, has plenty and beautiful leaves on the tree, which suggests that there were figs on the tree. Even though the 12, 13, and 14 verse begins this story, and it says that it was not yet the time for figs. But yet, when the leaves showed up on the tree, it suggests that fruit was already on the tree. For there were some species of fig trees that bloomed twice in the season, once in the early season and once in the latter season. And thinking this was one of the fig trees that bloomed in the latter season, thinking that there was fruit on the tree, because the Bible says in verse 12, he was hungered. They were hungry. So they got off the path and went to the tree, because the tree was calling them by way of their leaves, advertising, we have fruit. So when Jesus came, he recognized that the tree was not truthful. The tree was not truthful. And because it was not truthful, the reality was, because it was not fruitful, it pretended as though it had fruit by the leaves and had deceived folk. So the Bible says Jesus cursed. No man shall eat of you ever again. You, in other words, you won't fool nobody ever again. Nobody who's hungry, looking for a fruit, looking for something to sustain them on their journey. You won't ever fool anybody else. And I said, that's a warning for the church, for us pretending and performing and not being real, advertising one thing with no possession or production of the fruit that we're supposed to bear. God is getting tired of us fooling folk who come through those doors hungry, who come through those doors weak, who come through those doors looking for help, who come through those doors thinking that this is the place where they can get help, only to get hurt in the process by saints playing like they've got a real relationship with God. They've got church going on, but it's not church that causes God to receive the glory and mend the good. And so, my brothers and sisters, when you begin to understand that, Jesus curses that tree and moves on. Verse 20 says, the next day, next morning, Peter draws his attention and says, Master, the fig tree that you cursed, it's withered and dead. Jesus was trying to tell him, and it really was that yesterday. When I cursed it, it had no more usefulness to it. But they were excited that the tree heard him and obeyed him. But you've got to realize, verse 14, Jesus says, and answering, he said to the fig tree, in essence, you know, you will not fool anybody else. Now, that word in answering is intriguing, because it confirms the fact that Jesus said the leaves were calling. That was advertising. See, a lot of times you can advertise without saying the word. Oh, I wish I had a helper in the house. You can pretend and perform without saying a certain thing. Just give the notion that you are what you are not in the flesh. And so when we go on, we discover that Jesus, again, is dealing with Peter's concern about the fig tree and his interest in wanting to know how that happened. But then we get to verse 22, and it says, "And Jesus answering saith unto them." Here it is, answering again. All right. He says four words: have faith in God. Have faith in God. And that's what I want to deal with this morning. First of all, he gives us a divine response to how to have the kind of faith that is able to do uncommon things. It amazed Peter and the disciples who had been with Jesus and watched Jesus perform all kinds of miracles. But yet, he now speaks to a fig tree one day and the next day, which generally happens over time. The tree withers away and die, but it instantaneously happened by the authority of Jesus' word. The disciples want to know how this thing happened. Now, look again at the divine response of Jesus. He says, have faith in God. Have faith in God. There are three things about this that is important for us to understand that Jesus' response reveal. First thing, those four words are in such a clear context that he made this word so, and you jot down notes, clear as to how they're able to do supernatural and wonderful things. When he said, have faith in God, he made it one clear. But number two, he made it concise. He didn't take a long time and drawing out how the process worked in all of the different angles and all of the different connections to the process. He simply said, have faith in God. Then thirdly, he made this word complete because he says, have faith in God. Period. Y'all missing all of this. Let me go back through it and help you understand. First of all, when he says have faith, he's talking about the God kind of faith or the faith like God. Why is this important to understand? Because we have many kinds of faith. We don't just have one kind of faith. There are many faiths. And so in order to understand that, we need to understand that Jesus was making clear that if you want to do godly things, have godly power, demonstrate godly authority, you must have the God kind of faith. Believers need to recognize that they must have the God kind of faith in order to do those supernatural things for God. You can't have faith in another arena and expect to do things in a different arena and think that they'll work. Your faith must be built up. Your faith must be strengthened and sustained in the arena you want to operate in. If my focus is in prayer, listen, and not in singing, my faith and everything else I have is going to be built up in the arena of prayer. I'll do great things, great exploits in prayer. But now, that might not do a thing in the world for my singing. If I were in the arena of singing and focused there and everything that I did, my faith was upon developing my gift and sharpening my gift and all the rest of that, that's where the results of my growth and development would be, in that arena. Every arena where faith is going to produce fruit in that arena. Well, Romans 12 has already told us that God has given every man a measure of faith. It's not whether or not you have faith, it's where is your faith? And we'll deal with that a little bit more in the next part that I want to present to you. But he's talking about the God kind of faith. He wants to be clear about that. Have faith in God. He wanted to be concise about that because what you got to understand is you don't have to be long to be strong. When you got the faith to believe God for something, it doesn't take all day and all night. There are times when God moves upon your faith. When you want something from God and you have demonstrated your faith, because Jesus healed many and he said, according to your faith. Things happen because of your faith. God did certain things because of your faith. You're expecting God to open the door, make a way, do a miracle, this, that, and the other. How does your faith line up? And with those who have the God kind of faith, he can do things straightway, immediately, right now, in a hurry, faster than now, quicker than you can blink. He's got that ability to do that if you understand who you are, whose you are, and what God has said. Then he says, it's complete because, listen, if you put it in the right person, God is your source. God is the strength of your life. If you put it anywhere else, you cannot get the productivity from God when you've placed your faith in the wrong person. Have faith in God. That's so important to understand. You can't put your faith in your children and ask God to change them. You got to put your faith in God to change your children. You want changes on your job. You put faith in God to change your boss, change your situation, change your circumstances. You got to put your faith in God to create the changes that you're looking for. God is sovereign above all things, above everyone. If you want a difference to be made, place your faith in God. Listen to this. Because he controls and has the ability to conquer, change, and control any and everything, both here and in heaven and beneath heaven. So if you were going to put your faith in somebody, it would seem like you put your faith in God. Thank you, sir. Now look, that was Jesus' divine response. Have faith in God. But let's look at this again and look at the divine revelation that we have on this. Have faith in God. There are three things that come under this title, divine revelation, because you need to realize that when he says have faith in God, one, he's talking about discover your faith. Discover. Have faith. It don't just mean to have faith. It means to discover where your faith is. I told you, God has given every man a measure of faith. It's not whether or not you have faith. It's where is your faith. When Jesus was on the water and the men were there and the storms were raging and the winds were blowing and the water came in the ship, and they wondered if they were going to die and perish. And Jesus had to ask them, where is your faith? When he calmed the raging seas, told the winds, hush up, and made the waters lie down. Where is your faith? You got it. But listen to this. It wasn't in me. Because if it were in me, while I was resting, you would have known when I said, let us go to the other side, that if your faith were in me, we would not have had any problem that would have prevented us from getting to the other side, whether I was awake or asleep. So your faith was obviously somewhere else. And so what you need to realize is the Bible says, without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, what does that say to us? That our faith is somewhere. Help me for one moment and ask your neighbor, where is your faith? Because a lot of folks sit up here on Sunday morning and their faith ain't nowhere in here. It's not in God. It's not in here. They got to go on a discovery mission to find out where their faith is. But I got a helpful holy hint for you to find out where your faith is. Wherever you are the most productive, the most prosperous, wherever you have placed your priorities, usually your faith is right there. And when you look at your life and you see what's the best of your life and you discover it's not God, it's not the things of God, then you'll discover that your faith isn't in God. Now listen at this. There is good news, even though you discover where your faith is and is not in God. The next word says in. So what it says is, the revelation is, that we discover where our faith is. But in this tiny word, we also, not only after we discover our faith, we have the privilege of directing our faith. Somebody just missed that. You see, you have the privilege of putting your faith where you want. God gave it to you, but he left it up to you as to where you place it. If this were not so, remember, Jesus is talking to his disciples. He tell his disciples, have faith in God. You would automatically think that they already have their faith in God. Well, clearly, when Jesus said that, it made clear that they didn't. Because if they did, he would tell them, all you got to do is say it, because you already have faith in him. Now, listen at this. You have the power, and I'm talking to somebody here today, to redirect your faith. You, when you discover your faith and where it lies, you can direct it to the place it ought to be. Your faith can never serve you best outside of God. Your faith can never serve you best outside of. It might serve you good. It may even serve you well. But it'll never serve you best unless that faith is in God. Well, now here's the last thing. When you discover your faith and you direct your faith, the last thing you got to do is deposit your faith in God. Deposit your faith in God. Remember, you've got to do it. God's not going to force you to have faith in him. You've got to do it because you desire what he has said. Look at this word. Psalm 37 and 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Listen, you have got to place your faith in God. You've got to make a concerted effort to put those things that are valuable the most to you in the hand of God. Why? Because you want God to know you want him to have your best. And when you want him to have your best, then you want him to know you expect his best in return. And faith is what brings all of those things to pass for us. You wishing, you hoping, you praying, and without faith, all of that's impossible. I don't care how much you pray. You can have a 21-day fast, 40-day prayer. You can have a 365-day fast and prayer and won't get nothing, because the Bible said without faith. It didn't say without prayer it's impossible to please him. It said without faith. It didn't say without works it's impossible to please him. It said without